You're listening to the Trekmate Family Network.
The Battle Bridge is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com.
War, Solus, Sue, report to the Battle Bridge. I'll join you in a moment.
Ensign, secure connector levels.
Aye, sir.
Crusher, Carteno, Gleason, report to the Battle Bridge.
Mr. Data, Mr. Worf, I have a special mission for you.
Note in ship's log that at this start time, I'm transferring command to the Battle Bridge.
You're listening to the Battle Bridge, a TNG podcast where we discuss everything about Star Trek The Next Generation. And tonight's episode is Shades of Grey. I'm Lou from Nebraska.
I'm James from London.
And I'm Sina from Houston.
Sina, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Great. Now, who's taking your post down in 10-4 while you're here with us?
Oh, I think Chris or something. Somebody. I think he's handling bar duties today.
Cool. Who's the Guinan of 10-4? Would that be you?
That would be me,
no,
yes.
There should be no question as who's the Guinan.
The wise old...
Wait a second.
Stop it. Hey.
Who are you calling old?
Guinan. The wise old Elorian. So someone's got to be like Guinan. I would never call a woman old, believe me.
You know better.
So, besides 10 Forward, why don't you tell us where else you can be found at all?
Yes, I have a personal Twitter account, and that's at Queen Cat Blue. Cat is spelled with a K, and stop snickering, James.
That's a mighty long Twitter handle.
Hush. He makes fun of me all the time, James does.
Really?
Yes. Okay.
Well, anyway, all right. Well, it's good to have you on, and I believe this is your first time with us, right?
It is.
It is.
I remember reaching out to you, Sina, when we... I think it's relatively soon after we started the show, and I said, "Hey, Sina, do you want to come on?" And you did say, "Yes, I'll come on for Shades of Grey." And I don't know whether that's because at the back of your mind you were thinking, "You'll never last till Shades of Grey," and even then you wouldn't want to do it. I mean, maybe it's like, you know, it's one of these infinitely deferred things. By the time they'll get to Shades of Grey, they'll hang themselves, surely.
Mm-hmm. Well, we did try to get out of it, but...
Yes, you did, or we did. It's like, do we really have time to record this? No, I actually chose that one because I knew everybody doesn't like it, and I have a slightly different opinion. I don't think it's a great episode by any means, but I don't think it's absolutely horrible, stinking pile of whatever.
Okay, well, I've already guessed at all of our ratings, and I just changed yours. So... Okay. All right. Well, then, good to have you on. So let's go ahead and go into it. So the synopsis for tonight's episode is Commander Riker fights for his life in sickbay after he is infected by an alien parasite while on an away mission. Dr. Pulaski, soon to be unemployed, discovers that the only way to save Riker's life is to force his mind to relive painful memories. This is the season finale for season 2. This was first aired on July 17th, 1989. It was written by Maurice Hurley, Richard Manning, and Hans Beimler, and not all three of them could have done any better than this. Directed by Robert Bowman. Guest starring, special appearance by more like Diana Mulder, who plays Dr. Pulaski, and Colm Meaney as the guy who beams them up and beams them down, Miles O'Brien. So, what do we think about this episode? Good Lord. What about you, Doc?
It's not that bad. It's really not that bad. Actually, I wanted to come into this with a... I wanted to watch the episode, and I wanted to defend the episode, and I actually ended up watching the episode on the way home from work today. So I was on the London Underground watching this, taking notes and so on, and I wanted to defend it. And it opens okay. And that's about it. But let's again, Cena, what do you have to say, can I get as an overview for this wonderful piece of drama?
Well, like I said, it's not in any way, shape, or form a good episode, but I kind of like it for a couple of reasons. One, the framework. I've talked about it on 10 Forward before. I think even though they, I don't know, the framework isn't horrible. And there's some funny moments with Riker, and you see Riker, how he stands up to, you know, possibly dying and adversity and all that kind of good stuff. But the second part that I like is that as I watched it recently, like a month ago, and then I watched it yesterday for this podcast, and I realized that if you want to just skip a whole bunch of episodes that you don't particularly want to watch, this is a good show to watch because it gives you all those clips from all those other shows. It gives you a nice broad overview of season one and season two.
And I was thinking exactly that as I was watching this. I was thinking, let's just say that you don't want to watch, nonsense like the Icarus Factor and Up the Long Ladder. You can actually skip them and just watch this show. It's the edited highlight reel.
Right. I like Lemonade Cena, so thank you.
Well, that's exactly it. And if you listen to Tim Ford, you know that that's kind of my attitude, is I try to find good even in bad episodes. And I find Riker funny, and I don't particularly mind the clips. Some of them do go on for far too long. When I haven't watched this for a long time, I kind of play a game with myself to see if I can recognize the episode it comes from and what the name of that episode is. So that's another thing that I kind of like to do that makes me watching this episode, it makes watching this episode not a bad thing, not horrible.
Cena, I think we're on the same page. So I was watching this on the way up today, and I thought, because, you know, Lou's been putting out negativity on a lot of this, and he's been saying that it's not a great episode. So I was thinking, what can we do to, like, liven up the show? So as I was watching, I took a note of every single scene that was clip show that was used. Now, do you guys want to play, you know, name that episode from Shades of Grey?
Oh, I wish I had time for that. Yeah, I do wish I had time for that, but I have to, like I said, I got to pick up my daughter in a half hour, but I actually have the list here, and I was just thinking about going through those, each individual one, and seeing what we rated those particular episodes.
Actually, one interesting thing that I noticed when I was going through the list, because I put a list together as I was watching, and one strange thing is that they don't use all the episodes from season one and two. In fact, I don't think they even use about half of them. So you get things like, you get things come up time and again, and you get a lot of focus on several. I'm not even sure that they're Riker-centric episodes. They just happen to have a scene that's applicable, whether it's when he's having these dirty dreams or when he's having the situation where he's beaten up the Klingon, which apparently is a bad memory, but I would have thought that if he had gone toe-to-toe with the Klingon, that would be a good memory. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong on that.
I had to be a little scared.
Yeah, I was going to say, because it was focusing on where he was feeling scared or anxiety. I can't imagine that being confronted with the Klingon who's, by virtue of how he's positioned, 3 feet taller than you isn't going to provoke some anxiety. But it's funny that you should mention it, James, but I was also writing down the different episodes as I was watching the clips.
Uh-huh. There was one at the end where the freighter blew up, and I went, I know which episode that's from, but I just couldn't place it. And then like half an hour later, I went, it must be the one when the Klingons in season one come aboard and they blow up their own ship. And then one thing that kind of took the wind out of my sails slightly is that if you go into Memory Alpha, some nerd has listed the episodes in order.
Of course.
It wasn't me. And then they also confirmed the fact that I'm pretty sure that, I think it's quite obvious, but I hope that I didn't have like a brain misfiring, that they use the Genesis effect. Uh-huh. For some reason. They just throw that in there out of nowhere.
Yes, they did. I mean, I thought it was kind of a nice visual. Had nothing to do with anything about the episode, but just that whole effect with the sun. Well, I know it's the Genesis effect, but yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's a part of me that thought, okay, did they use that in like Home Soil or one of the other terraforming? Did they have like a display where they also use it? But I don't think there is. I think it's directly lifted from Rafa Khan. But let me just ask the question. Now, obviously, season two is in the middle of the writer's strike, and it's a short season to begin with, and they were on a very tight budget. Is there no, I suppose, not justification or even, could we not just acknowledge that, you know, I don't think the writers came in and said that they're going to knock it out the park this week. Is it not acceptable for them to have put this out as opposed to nothing? It's better than nothing, right?
No. No, honestly, I think they could have ended it on 21. There's no reason to go to 22 of this. No.
I don't know. Did peak performance, right? That's 21?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Not that I have mixed feelings about Pulaski. You know, do I like her? Do I hate her? Do I, you know, want to ship her off? But at least this episode kind of showcases her. Maybe not in the greatest way. But if this is going to be her last appearance on the show, at least it's sort of focused where she saves Riker's life. So I don't think it's too bad of a send-off for Pulaski.
No, I concur with that. And actually, if you were, I mean, Lou, I don't know if we want to do the same thing we do every week with the stepping through the episode, or whether you don't think there's just not enough meat there. But I actually quite like the, you know, I when I looked at it, I think there's like 15 or 16 minutes worth of footage at the front end where, you know, Riker goes down, gets hurt. I think that some of that stuff is, I mean, I think some of it's flawed, I think, but some of it's perfectly fine. I think what we do see competent Pulaski again, whereby, you know, someone's got someone's been infected and the transporter can't get rid of it. So the doctor in a relatively realistic way goes down and checks, and she brings him up and does everything that she's supposed to do. Having seen some of the exchanges in sick bay, I'm pretty sure I still prefer, you know, Beverly when she's doing her doctoring stuff and, you know, sitting there trying to find an antidote. But I thought it was, you know, I thought that the first 15 minutes or so was perfectly respectable.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I mean, oh, that O'Brien, what a jokester.
Yeah, I like that interaction, too.
That was pretty funny. Well, I hope these are the right coordinates. What? Well, I know you hate the transporter. Yeah, as much as I hate comical transporter chiefs. But anyway. Okay, so Commander Riker sticks his foot where it didn't belong. And as a result, something jabbed him in the leg. Whatever it is, the bile filters can't screen him out, like you said, so Pulaski has to get onto that damn infernal thing and beam down. Okay. So whatever invaded his leg is now making its way up his leg, and it's making it all numb. So did you think she knew, when Pulaski knew that the... I'm going to call it a virus, because she said it wasn't a virus, but something of both, but I'm going to call it a virus. So she knew it was gradually sliding up his leg, and it will reach the brain, and it will kill him. Why wasn't the option of a quick amputation? I mean, in the 24th century, hell, he could probably get his leg right back as soon as they fix it, or even get one that's better than his leg.
I mean, Nog lost his leg, right? And Nog was... I'm not going to say it was perfectly fine, but it wasn't. They clearly had ways around that. And I also, I mean, let me just hate on Pulaski for one moment. I think that, not her per se, but the writers, they do have a bit of medical mumbo jumbo there. And the bit when she says, "Oh, it's not a virus, it's not a bacteria, but it has elements of both," I almost felt that the Picard should have called her out and said, "Okay, in what way?" Because I think she was actually just plucking that off. You know, the writers were just plucking that out of their backsides. And then, yeah, you know, she does specifically say it's fused to the nervous system and we can't, you know, can it be removed surgically? And I'm pretty sure I I could have removed his legs surgically. Mm-hmm.
I guess it's easy for us to say. Now, Riker laying there may have thought, oh, no, 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 let's try something else.
Well, it would cramp his style, don't you know?
For a while.
Until he got used to it, yes.
Mm-hmm. And he could get used to it. But, okay, let's say it did it affected the nerve. Why does it take so long to, like, creep up to the brain? I mean, electrical impulses are a billion miles a minute, I think. Something like that. So why doesn't it just infect him all at once?
Get your books out, kids, because Dr. Roberts is about to school ya!
Would it be bad to point out that electrical impulses are 3 × 10⁸ meters per second? I'm really sorry. I don't mean to do this.
But they love it when you do it, and so do I. So do it again. What was that? Because I may not have wrote that down yet. Huh? Please say that number again.
Huh? 3 × 10⁸ meter per second?
3 times. See, I've got 3x, and I'm already lost. 3 times what?
3 × 10⁸.
To the...
8th power meters per second. I mean, by the way, this is just off the top of my head. I might be wrong. If I'm wrong here, I'm gonna just never live it down, and I'm gonna be shamed out of the show.
Okay, so 3 × 10⁷ times 8.
No, it's not times 8. No.
Okay. So anyway, but we could agree that it's very, very fast. So why does the thing just creep up his leg or up his body?
Because maybe this virus knows that. I was going to make some kind of ick joke about Riker and his proclivity for the ladies, but...
The virus has heard about certain parts of Riker that it wanted to explore first.
Yes.
Okay. Because that was one of my questions. Let's jump ahead a little bit. This might not... it's going to make somebody laugh, I hope. So where was that question? The memories that he was going through. Now, when Riker was thinking of Minuet and the Irish girl and just about everything else, she said he's stimulated, and Pulaski says, you mean like sexual? erotic, and she said, very much so. I gotta ask, do you think Riker might have been pitching a tent there? Is it possible? I mean, it'd be embarrassing. You're not going to believe what you were doing when you were out dreaming. Pulaski even said, oh my God. Okay, so now we can go back to the beginning. Okay, no. This episode, I would say parts when before Riker went unconscious, I kind of liked. I thought the episode was going fairly pretty good, to be honest. You know, his talk with Deanna. Now that was nice. You know, as a first officer, I have to put on this front, or I have to make an example for the rest of the crew. Even now, even facing death, it's important to be the moral leader of this crew. So I did like some of that part. You guys?
Yes, definitely. I did write that down in my notes. I just like the way Riker is reacting throughout this whole thing. Like James said, in the first 15 minutes, you have him cracking jokes because that's the type of person he is, and Troy comments on it. And that's what his answer is I have to set an example. And if I'm going to die, I want to do it with some pride and dignity. I don't want to go whining and show everybody. Basically, I'm a Starfleet officer, and I know that this could happen. And I want to live up to what I said I would do when I took the oath.
Now, I kind of agree, but there was one scene that I maybe can I re-noticed this time, which was when the Picard and Riker speak to each other, and I never really noticed that basically Picard does come along and inform him of an impending death sentence, and you know it was very mentioned by Picard in a relatively flippant way, and I don't know why, but I when I noticed I suppose when I noticed what they were trying to get to and what the conversation got onto, which was that, you know, look, this thing is actually very serious and you should be concerned and we actually don't really have a hope here. I thought that that scene just lacked a little bit of gravity, and I didn't quite know what it came down to, but I did notice there was no music, you know, there's no score in the background at that point. And I think later they do use the score a little bit better, certainly when, you know, Riker's, you know, he's going out of consciousness and they poke those little spiky things into his brain. But I kind of felt that the Picard-Riker interaction was a little bit flat. Other than that, I thought the start was perfectly good. And actually, once again, you know, Lou, you're a fan of the Geordi Data, you know, interactions. Mm-hmm. They were perfectly fine for, you know, their 5 minutes on the screen. I think the tree monster was a little bit cheap, but and you know, you might groan at a bit of the early Dataisms, which are, you know, hey, no, you're incorrect, Geordi. It's going to take several millennia for you to turn into a fossil. But it was, you know, it was standard, relatively fine, decent, you know, season two stuff.
Right. And we also learned that the Vines like humans more than androids. You know, so Geordi risks his life by depending on all those great android reflexes of his. So, now, what do you think about Geordi phasering off part of the thorn? I mean, don't you think the other part of the Vine would have just beat the crap out of him?
I thought that the effect that they got there was somewhat lacking, so I didn't see why they wouldn't just cut the Vine in half and just run up with that. I thought it was a little bit cheap, but other than that, I've not got a huge amount to say.
Right, that's what I got too. Why not just phaser a section of the Vine? That way it may have some of the virus medicine or whatever inside.
That's a good point. I hadn't actually thought about that, but I remember the first time I watched it being a little bit surprised that the Vine was sort of fighting back, even if it was a cheap effect. It wasn't just your normal plant, you know, which gives you a clue that we're dealing with something different here.
Right. So, if you drop a hammer on your foot, it's hardly useful to get mad at the hammer. So why do we still get mad at the hammer anyway?
To lessen the pain.
That hammer goes flying. So, well, but at least Riker's not bitter, as he said. Okay. His great-grandfather got bit by a rattler snake, and after 3 days of intense pain, the snake died. That was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a Riker joke for you. So the neural stimulator, or whatever, that's what I call it, I don't know what she called it, that Pulaski was using, do you think they actually are penetrating Riker's brain? I mean, all the way in through skull and bone and...
That's what you're supposed to think, right?
Yeah, I mean, exactly my words. I think that's what you're supposed to think. And I remember, I mean, as I've mentioned a couple of times, I watched season two as a young child. When I say young, I mean, I was 11, but I was a particularly wussy 11-year-old. I remember thinking this was disgusting as it penetrated and poked him into the brain. And rewatching, I think that there's a line when Pulaski says that, oh, you know, we're going to stimulate the neurons, and she gets the spiky machine out. And I thought, well, you know, you're not going to stimulate them by actually, you know, using a spatula kind of thing into the brain hole. I thought that was a little bit icky, although I'm not good at medical procedures.
Red alert. This is a computer-generated red alert. The Skype call has been lost. Reconnecting. Reconnection complete.
Okay, apparently I am recording you guys now.
Okay, good. Okay. All right, so here we go. I don't know where we were, but let's start at the part where I want to rip my skin off now.
Okay.
Riker is only reliving parts of his past that were filmed for the show. Except for the Genesis planet. Why are we not seeing scenes from his childhood? Maybe arguments and fights with his dad? His time as a Starfleet cadet? Refusing to let Captain DeSoto beam down to a hostile planet? Why only parts that we have seen before? I think they could have... Obviously, it's for budgetary reasons. They couldn't come up with all these clips. So it was easier just to stick something in. Right?
I thought you were actually going to go with, we are seeing clips from somewhere where he couldn't have possibly been, or not his point of view.
Oh, that's my next point. But first, I wanted to go, why couldn't we see, you know, his troubles with his dad? That's got to be some pretty bad moments.
But didn't he? I mean, he hadn't seen his dad since he was a teenager, right? Or, mm-hmm. or at least he had big falling out with his dad. You don't really want to watch an episode of someone else playing William Riker having to go to his dad. And as to why he only remembers things that were shot on for the show, remember, I mean, from the virus's perspective, it's all new to the virus, so he probably doesn't really care.
Huh. Well, the virus isn't what's controlling the dreams, it's Pulaski. She's the one that's stimulating his different parts.
Okay, well, in that case, because Pulaski is the one stimulating, she's only stimulating recent memories.
That could be.
That'll work.
Okay, then as Cena started to say, you know, there's that... I know of one episode, one flashback of where they were on the Batrus. And, you know, you ain't got time, you gotta get out of there! And so they on the Klingon ship, they're trying to get through a doorway, whereas we go back to the ship, the comm line's closed, and Picard turns around and tells Tasha, you better go down there. And not so much... that we get it from the ship's perspective. We even have Tasha's hands on her hips, and you could actually see her logging out of her workstation before she goes. How in the world could he possibly be dreaming that? And here's another thing. Why aren't we seeing it through his eyes? We're seeing Riker in his own dream. Why would he be seeing himself through another person?
Right. Why aren't we seeing him being, or us, being enveloped in black muck or armus? You know, why aren't we seeing just a whole black screen? That would have been easy to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, listen, if we have to go here, I would also point out that, in my opinion, the most, quote, erotic, unquote, scene that Riker would have lived over the last 2 years would not be with Miss Irishwoman or flirting with Minuet. I think he would have seen some more action. But
a lot more.
You know, you can't bring that up. It's just...
Yeah, this is the PG show.
Mm-hmm. How about the conquest from last week that Riker might have had, or from yesterday? But to go back to Miss Irish Girl, you know, I mean, what did he do? Wash her feet? But I don't know. Don't want to know. Okay. So the virus is getting stronger, so now he has to relive all negative emotions. The more negative, the more it kills the virus.
Okay, hang on. I'm gonna jump in there with... It's not any scientific problem per se, but there's a bit where Pulaski goes, well, if some endorphins attract them, and I think then Troy figures out some endorphins must repel them. And apparently... That's logic. I mean, that's like saying, you know, cheesecake makes me fat, or some cheesecake makes me fat, then other cheesecake must make me thin. That's not logic at all.
There you go.
I love it when you do this, Doc.
Mm-hmm. I told you. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, okay. That's all I've got.
Okay, so now we relive all the former episodes. Not all of them, but a lot of them. And it drives away the virus, and Commander Riker lives. Honestly, I mean, we're about, 15, 20 minutes into this show, and I can't think of anything more to say about it, except for, you know, the little bit about, you know, him joking with the captain and Data about Riker's now Captain Jean-Luc Picard, and Data is now an admiral. But beyond that, what else is there to talk about?
You know what it made me do, because I haven't watched very many episodes of season one or two, as I was looking at these clips, I was like, okay, yeah, I don't really want to watch that episode, and I don't want to watch that episode. Oh, but that episode where Riker is the exchange officer on the Klingon ship, yeah, that's a good episode. I want to go watch that one. Mm-hmm. Or this other episode that I remember being good, you know, Contagion. Yeah, I need to go watch that one. So, again, the clips help you discard what's yuck, Uh-huh. And kind of make you want to go see the good episodes of those two seasons.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's what it's good for.
Absolutely right. So, see, so you just reminded me. So this episode, not only does it have, you know, whatever fluff around it and, you know, a bit of Troy, you know, looking over a dead man in sickbay, it has the clips of, first of all, the Explodo head on Remick, and it also has the high kicking Admiral. And really, what else do you want from a Star Trek episode?
Yeah. Hey, James, question for you. Are you definitely recording right now?
Yeah, I'm definitely recording.
Oh, good, because my Callgraph toolbar just exited itself, so I'm not recording anything, so we'll have to get that over here somehow. But anyway, we'll go on. Okay, so I'm going to go pull out some of the other episodes that were highlighted in this and, you know, see how they did. Did they get some good ones or some bad ones? And let's start with Encounter at Farpoint, which James and I both gave it a 3. The Last Outpost, I gave it a 2. James gave it a 3. And then it looks like it jumps around quite a bit, doesn't it? 1-1-0-0-1-0-0-1, I gave it a 3. You gave it a 4. Anyway, did they pick some of the good episodes or some of the bad episodes? Like, you know, Angel 1.
Well, they did pick Angel 1, so yeah. They definitely... And the Edo, what was that one? With the
Justice.
Justice,
yeah. So,
which Luke gave a 3.
I gave it a 4. You gave it a 3.
No. You have to, no. I did not give Justice... Did I give Justice a 3?
Uh-huh. Yeah, you did.
Wow.
I gave it a 4. I liked its moral message of, you know, dealing with God. I don't know. I liked it, but...
So yeah, that was the one with the scantily clad women playing outside, right?
That's why they got an extra point.
I was going to say, you know, two males on the show, that bumped it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. We were alone that time, too. Nobody wanted anything to do with us at the point. So,
That's episode, what, 3 or 4?
Justice is number 8.
8, okay. Yep. Hmm.
So, okay. But anyway, some of those episodes are pretty good. Most of them are not so great. But it's too bad they couldn't have done this in season 6. You know? I think they could have blown it out of the water if they'd done something like this in season 6. But that's looking back when they were looking forward. So I guess there's nothing you could do about it.
Well, I mean, a strange thing is, though, right, that when you have a television show, you're going to have pressure on the budget. In particular, you're going to have pressure on the budget in the early years when you're not as successful. And by the time season 7 comes around, you know, you've got all the money you probably need in order to roll things through. And there are also a lot more writers on staff, and there are, you know, people wanting their own scripts to be put onto the show. And, you know, at that point, you're really firing on all cylinders. So it's a bit of a weird situation that you'll only end up doing a show like this when you don't really have anything to put into a show like this. It's a bit of a catch-22.
Let them start their hiatus early instead of doing this. I mean, obviously, you have to figure the filming probably only took a few days, and then the rest of it was all was somebody going through and saying, let's use this part here, and that there. That's my guess.
Yeah, that probably took longer to go through all the clip or all the shows to decide which clips to use than it did to film.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, one of my pet theories as to why there are only 17 episodes actually shown is because I don't think the person, you know, that the poor intern working at Paramount this week was just prepared to watch, you know, I suppose at this point it's going to be, you know, 48 or so episodes of Trek back to back. So they just, you know, they were given the heads up on which ones might have Riker in them in a relatively prominent role and just watched them.
Mm, that makes sense. Okay, so one thing about the little pokers that went into Riker's brain, what do you think Frakes went through with those things? You know, they all got pretty dang... I mean, obviously, they were touching his skin and pushing backwards as they were there, but still, you figure if he made any move, they were probably going to scrape some part of him.
Yeah, every time I see that part of it, it gives me the heebie-jeebies. Uh-huh. I mean, it does. It doesn't matter how many times I've seen that, and I know that they're not actually sticking those things into his skull and into his brain, but they do it well enough that you're just like, ugh. big, huge shutter.
Yeah, and then at the end, you do see the little red marks where they supposedly were in his skull.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little creepy. Well, then, I guess there's really not much more I've got. I don't have anything for this. Anybody else?
I have one nitpick, but I think I would defer to Cena if she has anything.
I am trying to look at my notes. It was just basically, you know, having fun trying to remember exactly what episode all those clips came from.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, I do have one, you know, that we kind of touched upon before and James was talking about. But the whole mumbo jumbo of this bacteria with virus and we can reverse the effects with these, that it's just mumbo jumbo what it is.
Uh-huh.
It makes no sense to me, and I'm not even, you know, remotely like James in intellect with being a doctor or whatever, and it bothers me.
Cena, don't put yourself down, and never underestimate educated people's ability to be morons, really. I think that's I think true. If there's anything that should go out there, you know, never think that just because someone happens to be able to add up or, you know, has relatively decent insights into, you know, causes of the 17th century warfare, that makes them relevant to be asked any questions or anything else. But my nitpick is that they keep pushing to you saying, you know, we're reducing the rate of growth. We're reducing the rate of growth. The rate of growth is now nearly zero. That just means that it's not expanding. And apparently when they hit zero, apparently it's all gone. But it's not all gone. It's just stopped getting worse. So throughout the episode, they're saying, it's, you know, we're making it get worse slower. But they never seem to explain how they reversed it. And I just think it's probably because they didn't really know what they were talking about.
Right. I wrote this down, which is part of what's, you know, kind of drives me crazy. Reverse growth rate of infection.
Yep, it's still
reverse
the growth
the
rate.
Growth rate?
Yep.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Question mark.
You got it. And we'll be back in a week or two. I'm going to put this up online, guys, if you're still with us. You're going to see a forum post that says, please give us your best and worst of season two. Everything from the episodes to the actors to the guest stars to the one-time stars to the stories themselves. Everything that you can conceive of. And that's what James and I are going to do and come up with the best of season two. And then compare it with season one and what we already know about season three. You know, it'd be interesting to see how those would compare as well. So please look for that in the forum at TrekMateFamily.com. Okay, well then it's time for our final thoughts and ratings on this episode on a scale of 1 to 5, with 1 being the worst, kind of like Shades of Grey, and 5 being the best of both worlds.
I see what you did there.
Nice.
Okay.
But you could have said one being Angel One. That would have been slightly more symmetric.
Sounds good to me, with one being Angel One then. Okay. Cena looks for the good in this. I there are a couple good parts in this. I will say that. I like the talk with Deanna and Riker. I even kind of like the talk with the Riker and Picard. You know, one thing I've learned from you is there's no reason to be pissy and moany about what happens. It just happens, and you have to deal with it. And I'm glad, you know, I respect your lack of hatred, number one. I don't know what it was, but something like that. But it wasn't enough. I hate this episode. I've always hated it. I always will. Besides a couple heartfelt moments, it just can't save it from its final doom. Now, Doctor will not do a 0.5. If I could, this would get a 0.5. But we set the rule 1 to 5, so it's getting a 1. It's getting a weak, puny, and flaccid 1.
Whew. Is this where I put my joke about that's how Riker was throughout most of the episode?
Yes, but you could see he wasn't completely. Now, those uniforms are a little too revealing when you're laying flat, I'll say. So the question really becomes, why did I notice that? I can't answer that question. Okay, so Cena, what about you?
I can't give 0.5s then.
Yes, you can.
Anyone can 2.5.
I can, but James can't.
Yes, James doesn't want to. He could if he wanted to.
Okay. I cannot give it a 3. I just can't. That's too high. But I don't want to give... I absolutely will not give it a 1 because I do like the framework. I do like the jokes. I do like the moments that you mentioned. And I'm not excited about the clips, but I can tolerate them because of what I mentioned before. The game I play, you know, trying to recognize them and making me want to go watch good episodes. So I'm trying to hover between a 2 and a 2.5. Yeah. I guess, I don't know. What do you...
No, it's up to you. What do you think?
Oh, I'll give it a 2.5.
Okay, 2.5 it is. I thought 3, but I guess I was wrong. Let's see what the doctor's on to. Doc, what about you?
Okay, this isn't a good episode, right? It isn't. And and I'm not just... Well, one thing I think we should park, it was just mentioned a bit earlier, which is that, you know, there are clearly budget issues at the end of the season, and there's not been any writing, and all of that kind of stuff goes in there. And I don't think that's necessarily an excuse, but I do, you know, it is at least something worth considering in the background as to why this thing exists. I don't think anyone brought it forward and said, hey, this is a great thing, we should do it every year. Let me just try to park that to one side, and I'm not going to use that as an excuse to kind of, you know, either hype it up or bring it down. I think the first 15 minutes is perfectly fine. Clunky, you know, not a great episode, but I think it's perfectly fine. I'm not actually that big a Riker fan for whatever reason. I don't think I've just warmed to him that much. But I thought that the story was interesting enough. It's a little bit of a, you know, had they not used the clips but had another B plot going on in the background, like, you know, Wesley trying to find his cello or whatever story of the week they would have come up with, they could have had the similar kind of setup without the clip show. So, you know, the fact that they're showing you the clips isn't, to me, it's just padding. It's not, it wasn't able to be threaded through as a narrative or even as anything, you know, anything interesting to say. Actually, I quite like the way that you find out that, I suppose, you know, Riker's actually kind of like come face to face with death a couple of times already, even in the second season. So whether it's on the, you know, whether it's being swallowed by the ink monster or being attacked by, you know, various people on planets, it's at least nice to see Riker being beaten up. I do groan at the procession of women that he's been invited to join in the bedroom. That's a bit painful. You know, this episode is what it is. I don't think it's particularly great. I'm not going to give it a 1, though, because I don't think it's... I don't think it's, you know, bad. I just think it's bad. So from me, I'm going to give it a 2. It's, you know, it's not evil. It just is meh.
Right.
So there you go. An endorsement from me. What shade of gray is it? It's myrrh.
Myrrh. Myrrh. He gave it a myrrh. Okay, guys. Then that's a 1 for me, a myrrh 2 for James, and 2.5 for Cena. So, real quick, we're at the end of the season, 22 episodes. My average came out to a 3.09, James came out to a 3.23. And in the 15 episodes that our guests were on, they came out to a 3.63. So, yes, they are still well over us. But last season, I came in at 2.71. James came at 2.77. So, as you could tell, we are liking it better. Not by much, but better. So, I got a feeling.
I'm averaging over a 3 for season 2. I mean, I'm going to be averaging over a 5 for season 3. I mean, that's just insane.
How do you get over a 5?
Is that even possible?
No, for very, very high values of 5. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I can think of a couple 5, so we may do that. Okay, guys. Thank you for downloading. Join us again next week as we give a overall review of Season 2 of TNG. And please get your emails to us. You can send to loutrekshow@gmail.com and tell us what you liked about Season 2, or just go to trekmatefamily.com, go to the forums, and look for the forum feedback for this episode, and then you'll be able to tell us what you think of Season 2. Or a forum, actually, go to a forum post that will cover Season 2 and your ratings and what you thought is the best and worst. So, I've been Lou from Nebraska.
I'm James from London, and I think we should once again thank our guest, Sina, who has been joining us from 10 Forward, amongst other places.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's been a lot of fun. Even great. Short but sweet, but fun.
Right. Well, I tell you what. Season 3, I've got the Survivors and the Price. Those are the first ones that are open in Season 3. If either of those tickle your fancy, I'm sure we can go back to an hour and a half show for you. So if you drop a foot on your hammer... Or, excuse me.
Prepare ship!
Jesus.
Prepare ship for ludicrous speed!
So, if you drop a hammer on your foot, it's hardly useful to get mad at the hammer. So why do we still get mad at the hammer anyway?